This is the Bears Barroom Radio Network. The following program is recorded live and intended for all audiences.
Radio is scripted now. We just come up with it. We don't use computers. We don't rehearse. We're going to talk about this next. We're going to talk about them. We're going to talk about the Bulls. And then we're going to have Brad Bixon. And then we're going to have all this. No. No. If you don't know what you're going to talk about in the top of your head before a show, you shouldn't be in the business. I don't know what you got. I feel like Vince Vaughn in a couple's retreat. The sharks are circling. Old school, baby!
You're listening to the Mike North Advantage, and it begins right now.
That's right. The Mike North Advantage starts right now. I am Aldo Gandia, Mike's wingman, and we've got another very special show for you. We're going to talk Chicago Bears. We're going to talk some college football, get Mike's picks, and then Mike has a very special guest to talk about the World Series. So things are a little out of order, but that's how the world is today. Everything is out of order. So let me introduce Mike. Now, Mike North, how are you, my friend?
That's my middle name, out of order. What's up, buddy? This is out of order. I've been hearing it my whole life, but you know what? Somehow I struggled through. We're out of order today. Not really out of order. We're just going to back end the interview because, of course, we're going to be visited, Aldo, with our buddy T.J. Reeves, who is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers sideline reporter. We'll get a little flavor about what's going on down there with Tom Brady, the winning attitude. Are they perplexed about things? Are things better than they thought? Are they not as good as they thought? We'll talk to him about that. Plus, the Tampa Rays, who basically got their brains beat in last night by a very, very capable, very good LA Dodger team. So we'll look forward to that. That will be in about about 40, 45 minutes from now. He got called into action for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Who knows, maybe we'll have some breaking news. But in the meantime, my friend, it's good to be on with you. 2-0 last week.
Nice.
Now we're up to 10-7. And all of a sudden now, 3-1 on the odds couple, and I should have probably been 4-0 because Ron Rivera, and I don't understand this, guys, you're trying to get a winning culture over there. You're down 20 you're down 1 point. All you have to do is kick an extra point to tie the New York Giants at 20. And then I had the under 42.5. All they have to do then, a field goal wins for me. He decides to go for two. It's not like you're playing, Aldo, Tampa Bay, or you're playing the Rams, or the 49ers, or you're playing New England. You're playing the New York Giants. You may want to get lucky on a two-pointer against a real good team, but against a crap team, don't you roll the dice and go into overtime?
That's what I would do. But
me too.
Ron is known as Riverboat Ron, and so I think he kind of thought maybe I'll just go for two and, you know, try to live up to that Riverboat Ron reputation.
Right.
I don't know
the reputation of trying to get things turned around. Riverboat Ron, you don't hit on 18 in blackjack. That's all I'm going to tell you. So I understand the image of Riverboat Ron.
Uh-huh.
But Riverboat Ron basically walked off the riverboat with his pockets inside out.
I think also that he's admitting that they are really not a contending team for the NFC East. In fact, when he was asked, "Are you backing off of the NFC East chase?" his response was, "Not yet."
Right, because the whole East stinks. But let me ask you this, pal. The Giants?
I know.
They were right there. I think they win the game in overtime, but I didn't care. Am I bitter? No. I would have been 4-0, but I'm happy to be 3-1, believe me. But the bottom line is I just thought whether I had money on the game or not, on the over, that's irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought, what are you doing? Kick the extra point. Now you got to play some football against the New York Giants. It's not like you're playing the Chiefs. Against Patrick Mahomes, you go for two. You go for two. Or anybody of that ilk. Lamar Jackson, go for two. Tom Brady, go for two. Danny Dimes, you go for that extra time. But, hey, that's the way it goes. We'll see what happens. But, hey, great week.
Yeah, excellent. Congratulations on that. By the way, on the screen right now, as you're talking about Daniel Jones, the stat is 3 passing touchdowns this year, 6 interceptions this season, and people are saying, be patient. He's going to turn out to, I don't know how patient you can be with that guy.
I was his biggest guy last year. He's one of his biggest backers. He looked good so early, and I know he's got a different coach and everything else, but he's digressed big time. And once again, just look at those stats, and you ask, Riverboat Ron, the odds are with you if you go into overtime, just considering that type of stat. But then again, his quarterbacks have been no great shakes either.
Right, and you know Ron Rivera really well. You don't think that he would have possibly been thinking in the back of his mind, yeah, let's tank. Let's just take a chance. If we tank, you know, we get a better draft pick. You don't think he would have thought that, right?
Here's what I do know about him, and I used to call him Chico, and we used to work many Saturdays together, and he subbed at times at the score. Here's what I know. We would have argued about that strategy, me and him, straight up, if another coach did it. If he agreed with another coach doing that, they'd had the same record as him, but they were playing dog crap like the Giants, we would have argued on the air. So I have no problem with first guessing, Ron. I've second guessed. I'm thrilled for him. I remember when Wanstead wouldn't even pay him. He volunteered to be on the staff. They wouldn't even get $10 together, pass the hat around for the guy. You know? I mean, seriously, come on. The guy was doing the work of other coaches. And you know who got rewarded at the end? He did. So good for him. I'm a big fan, but I just question that strategy.
Yeah, I got to question that strategy, no doubt about it. All right, you mentioned the New York Giants, and I did a little research on who our upcoming opponent who their opponents are. The Rams, who the Bears are playing on Monday Night Football, their 4 wins have come against all of those NFC East teams, and it's possible that the NFC East might have a division champion with only 4 or 5 wins. So it's not like the Rams have been beating powerhouse teams. And so, you know, I want to talk about last Sunday's victory against the Panthers, but I just wanted to share that bit of information with you first and foremost.
Well, that's why I was surprised about Rivera.
Yes.
Go for it, like, you know what, we're facing Y.A. Tittle, so we got to go for it now. I mean, the East is up for grabs. That's a huge loss for them.
That is, yeah.
I'm sorry, and you handed it to them. I mean, going for 2 is always tricky. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's the best team in football.
Yeah.
It's always tricky, especially, I mean, when you have inexperience at the quarterback position, and you have injuries and everything else, and you're trying to build a winning culture. So, yeah, and the Prescott and Andy Dalton is horrible. I don't know. Joe Flacco and Andy Dalton. I mean, my God, I don't know what happened to either one of them, but it wasn't good. Bad demons have taken over these guys. Not that, you know, they were all that lately, but my God, they were both horrific this past weekend.
Oh my gosh, the Cowboys losing to the Arizona Cardinals, and now it is apparent that the players are beginning to mutiny against brand new coach Mike McCarthy, who coached all those years with the Green Bay Packers and had some success, although he was always criticized. How can you only go to 1 Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers? It appears like the players are saying things like, this is the worst coaching staff ever. They're not prepared. They aren't good at their jobs. What do you think about Mike McCarthy? Is he on Jerry Jones' very short leash, and he's going to eat this 5-year contract that he signed him to?
No, he's going to stick around, but I will also say this. Mike McCarthy wanted this job and started emailing Jerry Jones. If you look back at the past year that he was unemployed, basically, he had a coaching staff put together, and they were grading the Cowboys. He was sending information to Jerry Jones and to the staff, saying what Garrett, when he was going for the, and then when the job opened up, he got the interview. He already had all that background available to him, and he told Jerry Jones maybe what he thought he needed. And now that Prescott's hurt, I don't know what they do, but basically he campaigned for the job. He got it. I think they got to be patient, because I'm going to tell everybody this right now. It's not his fault Ezekiel Elliott fumbled on consecutive carries.
That's right.
I mean, that's ridiculous. Yeah. This guy's supposed to be all that. And what would we do to any running back from the Bears?
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's Montgomery or anybody else, if they fumbled two times in a row, we'd be looking for the bench. But it's Ezekiel Elliott. So I want the players to quit pointing fingers because they're not performing either, and you got Prescott on the bench. And I'm telling you right now, Prescott's not a gimme either. So I don't know where the Cowboys stand. Bottom line is, I believe they're still in first place.
Are they? I have to check that because I wouldn't be surprised.
I think they're 2-4.
I wouldn't.
Let me check it out on the black box because I know you love the black box.
Oh, that is the that's a magic
standing.
Yeah, that is pretty cool little thing that you got there.
They're in first place. At 2-4, the Eagles are 1-4-1. Giants are 1-5. Washington's 1-5. I mean, they're in charge. I mean, that's why that game for Washington was so big. They could be tied for first place at 2-4 right now, regardless what the record is.
Right. Exactly. Oh, my goodness.
It was a dumb devil, and nobody will question.
Right.
And nobody questions anybody anymore about football coaching and management of the clock and why you do certain things. And the statistics tell you you should go for this. Screw the statistics.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think in your gut you can make that two-point conversion? Because you know what Mike North thought? They're not going to make this. It's the Washington Redskins. They're not going to make this. It's them. It's whatever the name they want to be. It's the Washingtons. We ain't going to make it. That's it.
Well, and speaking of the Cowboys, I just saw this.
I'm exhausted. Hold on. I just saw this stat. Thank you for the cognac. Okay,
Make it a double.
I just pisses me off. I don't understand. The point of doing it, Dave Kaplan says this every Sunday. Figure out a way to win a football game. That's it.
Yeah, that's right.
And Chico Rivera figured out a way to lose it.
That is so true. Well, and you were right about Ezekiel Elliott fumbling, and he did say, you know, this one's on me. You know, I played poorly.
Well, thank you. But you're the one holding the ball, making 6-year extension on big money. Thank you.
That's
your
right.
Running backs are a dime a dozen, and if you start fumbling, I don't care how good you are, you're going to be sitting.
Especially when you got all that money invested in Elliott. But the other problem with the Cowboys is that they have relinquished 34 or more points in 5 straight games this season. Jeez, what is going on with that defense?
yeah, the defense is bad. The offensive line is banged up.
Man. Oh,
Andy Dalton looks like he's a deer in headlights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, basically, he looks at the camera, you know, terrified, like I looked when I saw my first nun. You know what I mean? I'm serious. I go, what the hell is that? Who's this person with a black and white outfit on? And so that's the kind of, I mean, really, I'm surprised. I thought Dalton would be such a great upgrade, and maybe he will, but boy, it sure didn't look good the other day.
It sure did not. Now, how about those Chicago Bears? How did they look in your eyes in their win against the Carolina Panthers on Sunday that moved them to 5-1?
I love them. I love them. And, you know, people that predicted them to win 6 games and 5 games are going, hey, they're not doing this well, or they're not doing that well. Wait, you said they were going to win 5 games. That's right. Well, they got 5 games they won already, and they got, like, a ton to go. Oh, yeah. No. See? So, to me, take anybody who said anything about under 500 at this point, even, with a grain of salt, because they don't know what they're talking about. I sort of like the over. I'm surprised they're playing as good as they are. You can't say they're not playing any nobodies anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Carolina was rolling. But believe me when I tell you this. Teddy Bridgewater covers, folks.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He was like 28-7 covering the spread as a starter.
Right.
He looked stupefied against the Bear defense.
Yep.
He looked like he hadn't played in years.
Right.
I just think that it's our year. We're getting some turnovers. We're getting enough points to win. And we got a field goal kicker. Nobody's talking enough about this kid who got the kicker, special teams player of the week.
Not bad.
Yeah, if he was missing kicks, we'd be crucifying him.
That's right. That's right. Kyrie Santos, who was signed to replace an injured Eddie Pinheiro, and it appears...
See you later, Eddie.
Yeah, I think Pinheiro is ready to come back, but I don't think he's got that job anymore. I think Santos is going to keep it for a while.
Hey, he made a big 55-yarder. A couple weeks ago against Tampa, he made two big field goals.
Right.
Yeah, pressure kicks against a character ball club.
Yep.
So, I'm sorry. Yeah, nobody talks about the kicker unless he misses.
Exactly.
This guy got his just due, and he can walk in that locker room with the baddest of men that are in there and say, "Hey, boys. Guess who's getting the honor this week? I did." So, you know, I hate people that look at kickers like they're nobodies.
Oh.
This guy has been big for the Chicago Bears.
I'll tell you what. Over the years, I've made fun of kickers and so forth, but when Cody Parkey missed that kick, the famous infamous double doink. Since then, I have had so much respect and appreciation for a football team having a reliable kicker. And let's face it, the New England Patriots won a lot of huge games because of Adam Vinatieri, and then they followed him up with Stephen Gostkowski, two great kickers.
Well, what's great is, Al, it's like for years I remember saying that the Bears, if they would draft Sebastian Janikowski in the year 2000, that they'd be set a kicker for 15 years. I was wrong. They would have been set a kicker for 20 years. but that being said, they got Urlacher, but that's fine. Bottom line is people used to come at me and say, well, how many Pro Bowls does he have compared to Urlacher? Well, they pick 6-7 linebackers for Pro Bowls. They only pick one kicker. So Vinatieri was the name guy anyway.
Yeah.
But he did manage to make one Pro Bowl, but if Vinatieri's not in the league, or if they pick more than one place kicker, of course Janikowski would have gotten more honors. That's the bottom line. But when you get an honor like Special Teams Player of the Week like Santos did, that's going up against 31 other kickers and other people that play special teams.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it just doesn't go to the kicker. It goes to punters. It goes to gunners. Right. It goes to blockers. It goes to returners. Yeah,
right.
So it's quite the honor.
It's huge.
Yeah, very, very nice. Now, the Chicago Bears, I want to talk about the quarterback position because, you know, you're a Mitch guy, and I still think that you like Mitch a lot, and you'd love to see him get another opportunity. But so how do you compare the play of Nick Foles now after a couple of games as the starter to what you have seen of Mitch Trubisky?
There was a Twitter, I don't know if you saw it, Alex, this week, or any people from the bar room. By the way, go to at Bear Bar Room, folks, for the Twitter at North to North, NORTH number 2 NORTH, or at Aldo Gandia. And we're basically, the majority said the offense hasn't changed that much. I mean, the ball that falls through for an interception, he says that's on him. Okay, and everybody leaves it alone. If Mitch would have thrown that interception, people would have been screaming for him to be on the bench.
Absolutely.
That's just the way it goes, and that's the way it's going to be.
Absolutely.
Doesn't matter. I think Foles is winning football games just like Mitch did. I don't think he's any great shakes. I think he's adequate, and I think that basically as long as they don't turn the football over and we lead the pack in turnovers, that's okay. Remember, and I did it. I didn't want to do it. Aldo knows I'm basically a lazy guy now. My ambition is dwindling as we speak. I do my ESPN show. I do Bears Bar Room. And I go, boy, am I busy. You know, where in the old days, I'd be on every day, 4 hours a day, and all this other stuff.
Oh, and all this other stuff, yeah. We need to talk about all this other stuff.
I just think that Nick Foles is an okay quarterback, but we got to get a running game. And I dissected it on Twitter of holes, one hole that you could have driven a semi-truck through that David Montgomery didn't see. And the word is that he doesn't always hit the right hole. He runs as hard as he can. But this one that I did on Twitter, and you can check it out, go to North to North and look at my past tweets. It's from the other day, where the line did a tremendous job, opened up a hole to the right. He didn't bounce outside. He kept inside, bounced too late. He would have gained 25 yards on that play. And there's been other plays. So I want everybody to lay off the offensive line just a little. Not that they don't deserve criticism for the running game, but also we have to have the running back execute at times when the blocking does come through. That's all I'm saying. So I don't want to let him completely off the hook,
right.
and he doesn't deserve to be. And I think we got to get a better running game. I mean, somebody said the other day, well, look at Mahomes. They're running the ball for 200 yards. Look at the running backs. They got better running backs than we do.
And
you know what? You got Patrick Mahomes where you could be behind in the third quarter. We don't have that situation, folks. We got to run at the beginning and hope it works to give Foles or our quarterback, whoever it is, protection.
Now, one of the things, and Matt Nagy basically has said in code, because that's how he speaks, he's basically said what you're saying is that these mistakes with the run game, it's not just the offensive line, it's everybody that's not doing their job properly. And one of the things that I've been disappointed in Foles is that he hasn't hit the deep ball as consistently as I expected, because that was supposedly one of his strengths. And I think it still is one of his strengths, but he perhaps hasn't got the timing down or anything. Well, anyway, Patrick Finley of ESPN asked him about that after the game Sunday, and this is what he said.
Yeah, I mean, each game is its own entity. Studying this defense, I think they're number one in not giving up explosive plays. If they're not number one, they're up there in the top. So the reason is they play a lot of zone, so it's hard to hit those deep plays. There was a couple of times we tried to, it didn't work out. But that's something we got to keep working on. We got to be able to get those big chug plays. We got a few, but we got to get more. And I think they're going to come. Once again, being able to figure out how to win is great, because now we can, hey, we won, but hey, let's get better. Let's try to get some bigger plays. Let's get our playmakers out there, let them do the thing downfield. That'll open up the box, help us run the ball, and then we just continue to improve as an offense.
There's one thing about this guy that I really like a lot is in his interviews, he makes me feel pretty good about, you know,
he's
the
got
team.
Command.
Yes, he does, right?
He has command. Mitch doesn't have command because of Mitch's inexperience and because Foles has been places that Mitch wants to go to, like the Super Bowl and other type of situations. He has faced good and bad. He seems like a cool customer, doesn't seem to get rattled. Mm-hmm. So he has some command. Does he need to improve? Absolutely. But we're winning the football games, and that's all we wanted. And seriously, I mean, for all the Mitch haters out there, I'm going to say this for my boy Mitch Trubisky, who was never my boy until this year. He's 3-0, and Watson's 1-4. So put that in your pipe and smoke it, and I'm a big Watson fan. But what good does it do if you don't have people around you?
Well, and you make a really interesting point there, because while the Texans have been criticized for their offensive line,
right. They
still, on paper at least, have a much better offensive line than the Chicago Bears. I mean, their left tackle, Laremy Tunsil, is a guy that people were crying.
Give away Hopkins.
Yeah, exactly. They give away
how
their best receiver.
Exactly. How do you make that? That's why O'Brien's out of work.
He was fired.
You
he fired himself.
You got a pedigree quarterback. Look, I understand the Allen Robinson singers. That's what I call them now. You know, like, you know, Lawrence Welk had a chorus. The Mitch, you know.
And a one. And a two. Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
With the other guy, Mitch Miller.
And Mitch okay? Miller. There you go.
Ladies and gentlemen, before we go on with the Lennon sisters, right now we got the Allen Robinson singers.
We're going it's way back.
People that sing a song and they make it so much better than he is. So let's a one and a two. Allen is great. Allen is great. And follow the bouncing ball. Okay. Let me just say this. I love Allen Robinson. He doesn't drop many balls, but the BS that's going around, okay,
mm-hmm.
is fantastic. I have it out on Twitter right now, if you go to it. Pro Football Focus, I don't know if they're his agent or what have you. They must think Bear fans are stupid, and some fell for the bait.
Some are.
65 targets, no drops. Are you kidding me?
No.
We've watched the games.
Yeah.
We've seen the games. I've seen them out fought for balls. I've seen them drop balls. I saw them drop a ball against Carolina.
Yeah.
How do you put that down? So then, instead of being lazy, like a lot of people are, I go, every so often, little Mike's on my shoulder, and he taps me, and he tugs on my ear. He goes, remember what it took for you to get to where you had to get? Do you remember that? Don't be lazy. Look it up. And then he left. I looked around, he left. I looked it up. It says, yeah, on Pro Football Focus's all-only site, and if Elder wants to go there, he can't. 65 targets, 40 receptions. What the hell are they talking about?
Well,
and then I looked at another stat.
Uh-huh.
I looked to another stat for Allen Robinson. Same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So this nonsense, he has no drops? That's impossible, folks.
Yeah, that
he has drops. He's been out fought for balls. He's been targeted 65 times. And 25 times, it hasn't happened.
Yeah.
It's a fact. So don't try to build the guy up. And whoever did the stat for Pro Football Focus, you got to take that off.
Well, or fire the guy.
Why not? I'm right or wrong about that. There's actually Bear fans that think he's been targeted 65 times with no drops. Well, if that's the case, why doesn't he have 65 touches?
Well, and what some of that is these guys from Pro Football Focus, they're young guys who are making subjective judgments on what was a catch, what wasn't a catch, what was an overthrow, what was an underthrow, and so forth. So that, for instance, that one play in the end zone where Allen Robinson went up, he had it, and the defensive back wrestled it away, and Allen Robinson...
So they give that guy the credit and not Allen Robinson to blame.
Right, in my mind, that's a drop. Allen
Allen
himself says it.
Dropped it right to the other guy.
Right, he gave it away.
No, I'm sorry, I don't care who they are. I wouldn't let them drive a bus.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
I'd be afraid they'd say, you know what, a red light's good. Let's go through.
Now, I agree with Allen that probably should have been a touchdown, but because he brought up that a couple of years ago, the very same play happened, and it was ruled a touchdown. But nonetheless, if you're going to go by statistics like these Pro Football Focus guys says, that's you got to call that a drop.
You know how many times he's been targeted? Wait. Okay, so if he doesn't drop the ball, but there's no separation,
mm-hmm.
and somebody just bats the ball away,
mm-hmm.
that's not on him.
All
I'm
right.
sorry, you're targeted, you got to get open. And he's got 40 catches. He averaged against Tampa Bay 9 yards a catch. That's okay. Sometimes he averages 14. I don't care, but he's averaging about 11 yards a catch. If you want $30 million a year, like Hopkins, become him. But you can't. He's more of a possession receiver. I give him all the respect in the world. Okay? He's the best receiver we got. But he could have signed already. And if he doesn't look at Dak Prescott's situation, I mean, if you want to hold out for huge money, I don't know if you're going to get it. But, man, sign for $15, $20 million and be a hero for the next 3 years.
Well, I don't know exactly what the whole deal is with the contract negotiations, but I'm hearing through the grapevine that he is
I love the grapevine.
It's so delicious, right?
Oh, yes.
That he is being offered $2 to $3 million a season less than the receiver that he feels like he's comparable to. And he's not talking about DeAndre Hopkins or any of the very top.
What are you talking about?
He's talking about, I'm drawing a blank on names, but we could talk about it on our next show. I'll come a little more prepared. But
I just was saying, though, if you're good, let's say the guy's making 18 and you're offered 15.
Right.
Or let's say the guy.
That's about it, by the way. That's about it. Go ahead.
Oh, my God, man. I would have signed already.
Because
injuries in this game, especially this year, are tough, and we can't afford to lose him this year.
Right.
We're there because of him in a lot of ways. But I think receivers, like I've said before, coming out, I watch receivers every Saturday
mm-hmm.
on college football.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if people don't even know their names yet. You will. And they're unbelievable.
Right.
Colleges, the easiest thing to replace, and I'm not taking any disrespect, I think in football, maybe either the wide receiver or the running back.
Definitely a running back. Definitely the running back. But
yeah.
let me ask you this. So the agent goes and says, you know, you got to factor in that you don't have a great quarterback throwing to Allen Robinson. If you had a better quarterback, he would have 20 more catches this season. And so I think that's a good argument, that is that Robinson hasn't been surrounded by some of the players that would bring up his stats. And already his stats are pretty impressive. I mean, he's caught 100 passes for the Chicago Bears, and you don't see that very often.
No, Marty Booker did it. I mean, you know, better quarterbacks would do it. I grant you. But didn't he get signed to a big deal with, while Blake Bortles was his quarterback, who's out of the league now?
No, he did not. He was about...
Who was the quarterback at that time in Jackson?
It was Blake Bortles, but he was about to sign a big deal, but then he suffered that ACL injury in the first game of the season, and so I think that's why he's been pissed off, because he doesn't want that to happen again.
Well, then, I would... You know me, Elts. When you got that kind of buddy out there, man... You're going to let a few million get in the way because you're Eagle. That's an Eagle thing. You know, I did find out Allen Robinson, through this whole thing, taking himself off Instagram, this other guy's getting $3 million more than me, you know, and all this other stuff. You know, there is an ego there. There's no doubt about it, and he wants to be paid comparably to somebody else. Maybe it's a different situation. We don't know what, but I will tell you this. I heard his price tag was 20-plus at one point. That's a lot. It really is.
Yeah.
For a guy that does have a lot of catches, but you should in this day and age when you're the number one receiver. So we'll see what happens. Yeah. I still hope that they can sign him, but I still think they need to get better at the pass receiver. I like Mooney. I like him.
Oh, my goodness,
I'm not big on Miller yet.
Yeah.
Miller comes up and does something good, then he craps the bed.
Yeah, what is going on with him? I'll tell you one thing that is really, really good. Is your picks.
Yeah! You tried! Everybody thought, Mike's in trouble. Yeah, I'm not out of the woods by any stretch of the imagination, but boy, things are starting to turn around. 6-4 my last 3 weeks on the Oz couple with Carmen DeFalco. 10-7 as I sweep the board last week with Tampa Bay overs and stuff, and the unders in the championship series. Got that job done. I got a one game. It's tonight. We've been lucky with baseball, folks. But I got two picks, okay? I got the Los Angeles Dodgers. I just look at what Kershaw did last night. He had 8 strikeouts. He got the job done. He got that monkey off his bat, so to speak. Won a big ball game. They seem to be not intimidated. It's not like they're playing the Yankees of the 2009 variety, or they're playing somebody they respect them. I just loved how Kershaw last night looked like a homeless man on the mound, while this kid from Tampa Bay. Kershaw's hat looked like he got it from, like, Duke Snyder, you know, back in Brooklyn. That's how old it looked. The kid from Tampa Bay, quit looking at yourself in the screen, quit worrying about your hair, your pants are perfect, and you're getting tattooed and walking 6 guys, okay? I mean, get over yourself. Win the ball game, okay? And Kershaw just played great last night, so I think tonight... The Dodgers do it again at -135, and I love the under 8 in that ball game too. L.A. Dodgers, -135. You bet 100, you lose 135, and the under 8 in that same game. Eldo, back to you. Don't forget, we got our guy T.J. Reeves coming on at 10:15, folks.
Great stuff, Mike. That game yesterday, were there any surprises in that game for you with the Dodgers and Rays, or did it go pretty much as you expected?
You know, I like the kid pitcher. He's got to get over himself. He's a stud. You know, he's got movie star looks. He adjusts his hat. He's, you know, does the whole thing on the mound.
Right.
You know, just pitch the baseball, but he throws 100 miles an hour. But also he had a 4.65 ERA, you know. So, you know, I'm saying to myself, I'm not surprised. I was surprised that they scored so many runs because they've been pretty solid defensively, Tampa. But the Dodgers are a machine right now, and I don't think this team matches up well with them at all, because you have to play offense against the LA Dodgers, and they're a lousy offensive team. Good defensively, pretty good pitching-wise, but that will be worn out by these Dodger bats.
Right. Well, if the Rays are going to get back into this series, they have to do it tonight. They've got – a lot of people are saying that they've got the edge in the pitching matchup tonight because they got the 2018 Cy Young Award winner, Snell, going on the mound. But this kid for the Dodgers, what's his name, Gonsolin, he pitched – he had a 2.31 ERA during the regular season, so that ain't exactly something to sneeze at. So and then the Dodgers, you know, they've got this formidable offense. My goodness, I was changing it around last night, and every time I put on that World Series game, there's another bomber hit by the Dodgers, another run scored. The guys are high-fiving and kicking their feet together and doing all these celebrations. I'm saying, wow, these guys look to me like they could be they could sweep this series against the Rays. Any thoughts?
Well, you know what it looked like, Bellinger. I mean, you know, got hurt when they were doing the celebration.
Right.
They clinched the to get to the World Series. He hurt his shoulder, and everybody's
right.
worried about his shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And he plays, and he just hits a bomb. And that just seemed and you can't walk six men.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care who. Nothing deflates a team more.
Wow.
Than walking.
Mm-hmm.
More than one hitter or two hitters or three. Make them hit their way on. They didn't make them hit their way on. So that's where they're at right now, to be honest with you. I mean, seriously, it looks like a magical year for the L.A. folks after LeBron and his guys, although nobody knows it, but they won the championship, in case anybody'd like to find out. I'll be the first to tell you they won the championship. And and then you got this team, so things are going good. What can I tell you?
Yeah, and at one point regarding the Bears and Rams from a betting standpoint, that total on that one has been listed at 45.5. And based on how the Bears' defense is playing and the Bears' offense, I got to believe that the under is a good pick there. The under is a minus 110, so you bet $110 to win $100. I, you know, why not? That to me sounds like a good bet.
The Bear defense has done a good job, but they can give up drives if they're playing competent teams. I think that you're playing a pretty competent team.
Oh, yeah.
The Bears, I don't think, are scared of them, you know.
But they don't give up a lot of points, though.
Huh?
They give up big drives, but they don't give up a lot of points.
No, and that's what they did differently. That they're doing differently this year than they did last year, and they're getting time. Their turnovers look a lot like 2018.
Starting to, yeah.
I mean, look. Sooner or later, they're going to have a bad game. Just like the Jets, sooner or later, are going to cover a game. They're 0-6. This is hard to do, folks.
Mm-hmm.
0-6. The Jets are against the spread and in the league.
Right.
They haven't covered. That's hard to do unless you're absolutely horrific. And that's what the Jets are. What I'm trying to say is sooner or later the Jets are going to cover and it's going to be a fluke. But sooner or later, you know, unless the Bear offense is going to start perking up too. Don't just put it on. We can't just put it on. Is the Bear defense going to be able to stop the Rams? The Rams got to stop the Bear offense if they start getting things in gear.
Right. Well, and the big thing with the Rams is you got to stop Aaron Donald, which the Bears have had some success.
Yeah.
And it was nice to see Aaron Donald not have any sacks last week in the loss against the Rams loss to the 49ers. And he had like 3-4 sacks the week before. So for him to be bottled up, I just hope he's not like an angry dog looking for raw meat when he looks at Nick Foles. By the way, in three career games against Nick Foles, he has never sacked Nick Foles. And so let's hope that continues.
Well, you know what? And that means if he doesn't again, he probably won't shake hands with him. Just like I like Tom Brady, but, you know, not to shake hands with Nick Foles after a game because he has the better of you.
Right.
And then you shake hands with Drew Brees and you shake hands with Aaron Rodgers after you beat him. If I'm Nick Foles, I'm loving that.
There you go.
You got dissed by Tom Brady because you're in his head. Period. Mm-hmm. End of story. Because if you put two and two together, he couldn't wait to shake hands with Aaron Rodgers, couldn't wait to shake hands with Drew Brees in winning type of situations, right?
Right.
But when it came to losing a football game, I thought he was classless. I really did.
Well, I'm frankly not surprised. Mr. Brady, I think, has been fooling a lot of people with that million-dollar smile and those good looks. And
sort of like I got. yard. Same with me, right?
That's right.
Yes. Let me put my teeth in. Let me get that million. Because when I say $1 million smile, that's what they cost, okay? Yeah, you know, let me just say this. You could have all the money in the world. You could have the greatest car. You could have your health. You could have it all. But if you didn't have dental insurance, you might starve to death.
Oh, you're killing me, man. All right, I got TJ on the line.
With my old buddy, I mean, he's the Buck sideline reporter. You can get him on TJ Reeves on Twitter. It's really Buck sideline guy. He used to follow me. I was a hell of an opening act for him at Fox Sports Radio on weekends when I first started over there. We had some fun. We argued college football. We argued SEC. But also, I mean, he's got to be feeling rather chipper these days, because back in those days, maybe things were a little bit leaner in Tampa Bay. Not that things aren't always good in Chicago either, but we're pleased to have on my old pal TJ Reeves. What's up, Teej?
Always good to be with you, and yes, you were a heck of an opening act. We have chopped it up on many different occasions, and I am looking forward to chopping it up here, because you've got so many avenues you can travel, from Stanley Cup to World Series to Buccaneers. Wherever you want to go, I'm here for it.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't hear that before. I'm here, Mike. I'm accommodating. Back in the day, we would go back and forth, and it's got to be a great time for you, because you know what? I remember, I mean, it's very rare in Chicago when all the teams do well. I mean, we were ready for the Cubs Sox World Series this year, but it was in this COVID type of year situation. I don't care what kind of situation it is. Let's talk first about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, okay? First of all, I believe you thought there was a chance he was going to come to Tampa Bay, but are you still, and are people still out there looking at the field when they're watching on TV, or some of the lucky ones get to watch in person, shaking their head going, I can't believe Tom Brady's our quarterback?
You do have some of those moments even still right now, when they've played six games at the time that we're having this conversation right now. I'll relate one from Sunday. So they wiped out the Packers. You're welcome, Chicago Bears fans, facing the Green Bay Packers. After the Bears put one on the Bucs on Thursday Night Football, Buccaneers turn around and give the Packers their first loss of the season. And that was a dominant performance, Mike. I mean, that was 38 unanswered points against a good team. Not a bad team, not the Bengals. This is the Pack with Aaron Rodgers. And they embarrassed them over the last three quarters and won the game. So I'm standing down there working Buccaneers radio, and we're not allowed to be on the field, not allowed to be on the sideline. I'm in the front row of what's called the operational zone. That's where we're allowed to operate. That's where the TV reporters are on the networks, the sideline reporters. That's where photographers are. So I am looking at the bench as the clock is winding down with the game 38-10 in the final 5 minutes, and Tom Brady is laughing with Rob Gronkowski, who had a good game on Sunday and caught a touchdown from Brady. And I'm looking at that, and it's exactly what you just described. I'm having a moment where I'm going, we've seen this so many times in New England between these two. Now they are standing in Buccaneer colors, celebrating a 38-10 blowout win. It was surreal for a second to remind yourself, they're playing for the Bucs. It's wild. So, yes, we are still getting those reminders even into the season right now, Mike.
Yeah, Gronkowski, it was good to see him start to get himself in shape. I mean, a year off, it's tough to come back from. I think he's only going to be a positive weapon like he's always been.
Can I tell you something? He's banged up again, and he was hurt at the end of his career, and it's a big reason why he retired. He's got a bad back. He's got an injured shoulder, a right shoulder, and he gutted through it and played basically not able to block as well as he would want with that right arm. So anybody that's still slinging arrows at Gronk coming back, he played tough and played hurt against Green Bay Sunday, and it tells you how bad he wants another ring. He wants another shot at another ring here with the Buccaneers, Michael.
I got to ask you about his, Brady. I mean, he's a man that when I think of perfection, I think, you know, sort of like Jordan. Like, I think if basically he wins a Super Bowl with Tampa Bay within the next year or two, he'd be above Jordan, okay? That's just my opinion. You got
to
another ring. Well, in football, where you got to depend on so many people, but yet he comes into a new organization, Tampa Bay, that has been sporadic. I think I'm being nice at best throughout their life.
You are being nice.
And if he wins a Super Bowl after leaving New England, what Jordan did is fine. But that would be like Jordan going to a, I guess would have been Jordan at the age of 38, going to the Knicks and winning an NBA championship. Would you not agree?
Yeah, I think it's a good analogy. And we've seen other quarterbacks. Peyton Manning is the most obvious example.
Yeah,
lifelong Colt. Well, but lifelong Colt had the neck injury, couldn't play for a year. They decided to move on. And he goes to Denver, and he ended up winning one. Montana got traded, and we're old enough to remember this. Montana got traded to Kansas City. They got to the AFC Championship game, but they could not ever get by Buffalo in the playoffs. So he never got to a Super Bowl with anybody else. If Brady does this in NFL terms, especially when the argument of having been with the dynasty of New England as long as they were, then yeah, I agree. You go even one more level up. I don't know how much higher you can go up. But if you get a Super Bowl somewhere else, it's wild, yeah.
Here's a combination. Let's say New England doesn't make the playoffs without him, and let's say this year they went to the Super Bowl with him in Tampa Bay. I'm sorry, it's a team sport, but you're talking about the greatest quarterback of all time, just switching positions, meeting 52 new faces, plus coaching staff, and goes, okay, we're going to go to the Super Bowl. That, to me, would be astounding. Let's talk about the things that you think they need, Teach. What does Tampa Bay, your tight end, your backup tight end or whatever, the guys at backup Gronk seem pretty decent. What do you need to maybe make you even feel better about the way things are going now? And you don't need any more pick sixes from Brady. Maybe you won't get any of those, but you had two already. But. What do you really need on this team to make it go to the next level?
Need offensive line play to continue to be good. It was not good in Chicago where they had all the penalties and Brady got knocked down about 10 times in the game. He's never comfortable if he's getting harassed and knocked down, never has been, not really mobile enough anymore at 43 years old to get out of the way. So the offensive line play needs to continue to be good and play penalty-free. They are a totally different team when that happens. They need to stay healthy. They have been banged up at receiver in particular, tight end and receiver, and they got healthier with getting Chris Godwin back. Every team will tell you that. We've got to have our star guys, our best players, be healthy and be able to play. But Tampa Bay had to gut out a couple of wins over the likes of the Chargers and the Panthers with injured players out. So let's see if they stay a little healthier. Secondary is a little young, and there are going to be some teams that are going to continue to test that secondary. That's what made last Sunday so impressive, is Rodgers is the type of guy that could expose that with the Packers. They weren't able to do it. But you're playing, for example, at the time we're taping, you're playing Derek Carr this week at the Raiders. Soon you're playing Breeze again at home on Sunday Night Football, and you're playing that Mahomes guy from Kansas City, the defending champ. They're going to test that secondary. So I would say offensive line play continues, cut down on the penalties with them, stay healthy, and let's see if the secondary continues to step up.
It's still mind-boggling to me that people think Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in football when a 40-some-year-old man is beating the crap out of him. You know what I mean? On a continuous basis. It's mind-boggling. You got a quarterback with 6 Super Bowls, and he's got to defend himself against critics that think Aaron Rodgers is better. I'm sorry, Aaron Rodgers had a shot to show everybody what he could do this week, and he didn't get it done. Let's talk about your other team, the Tampa Bay Rays. My God, I
wow.
Well,
wow.
Mike Kershaw looked like a homeless man last night. Let me just tell you something. I got to be honest. He has the same cap, like I said, Duke Snyder gave to him when he was a kid. But he was dirty. He was grimy. And your guy likes to look at the scoreboard, look at himself, fix his hair, fix his cap, make sure his uniform's... I mean, his socks are even. I know guys like this got the wristbands going. There's no doubt that on the road he's going to get tired someday if there's ever a road trip again that you're allowed to go out. But, I mean, I just saw the maturity level. One guy gets it done even though he's bombed in the past. This kid throws 100 miles an hour. He's done it, Glasnow, a number of times, but you can't walk 6 guys. You just can't.
Right. Well, and that was a case, too, where it's the biggest stage, and Kershaw has been there with the Dodgers now a couple of times in the World Series, and this is new for a lot of these younger Rays to have gotten all the way to this level. They have maybe been in the playoffs here or there. A couple of them have been in playoff situations with other teams, and the stage was big for Glasnow with the walks. He gives up home runs, too, but, man, he's got a great future with that 98 to 100-mile-an-hour fastball and only, what, 22, 23 years of age. So we'll see how he does in the rest of this series if he's needed. The Rays, again, are quirky, Mike. They want to use their relievers. They've got a very deep bullpen. They've got the expanded rosters because of COVID-19. So the Rays have been using all kinds of different bullpen guys, relievers, and they have been scrappy. They've pitched well. They play defense. They have not hit with runners in scoring position. That victimized them in game one. Again, they had Kershaw on the ropes in the first inning, couldn't drive in a run. Had some guys in scoring position later in the game, only got a couple of runs later in the game. And L.A. has got so much firepower. The number one scoring team in baseball this season. You are going to have to try to limit them, but you've got to get some timely hits if you're the Rays. Or, unfortunately, the Dodgers are going to run them out of there in Arlington, Texas. Let's see what happens, though.
Your mindset with the Bucs every Sunday is you're going to win the game. My mindset, and I want Tampa Bay to win, but my mindset about the Dodgers was we failed before. But even Dave Roberts was a little arrogant and cocky coming in saying we're not going to screw up this year. It just seems to me that your mindset with the Rays is let's hope we win a game or two. Am I right or wrong?
Well, and there is some of that. Let's be happy to be here. They won't admit that. I think it will be very big in the second and the third game at the time that we're taping here. Do they demonstrate what we saw in the New York series and in the Houston series? Now, in both of those, they won the first couple of games and got off to the great start. So in this one, if you don't win game two and you're down 0-2, then everybody's going to be saying what you just said. Hey, they're just happy to be here. It's the Dodgers' time. Blah, blah, blah. But if you win game two, you now feel like, I know you love movies, you love Rocky, you love all of it. It's like when Rocky cut Drago in Rocky IV, and Duke is in the corner, and Duke is saying to him, see, he's just a man. He bleeds like you and me. He's just a man. It's kind of the same thing. If the Rays can beat these guys in game two, they get a little confidence that it's a long series, settle in. I mean, we know the Dodgers scored 11 runs in the first inning a week ago on the Braves. What kind of firepower they have. They won the last three games of the series down 3-1 by outscoring Atlanta and getting timely hits and home runs. So the Dodgers are dangerous. We know that. So if you're Tampa Bay, maybe you kind of play loose, Mikey. Maybe you play loose here in games two and three.
You're getting excited right now. You're in that mode where you think you can't lose. Here's what I think you guys are. You did a little movie thing with me. I'm going to play. Let's play a little movie. You ready for a little movie thing with
yeah.
me?
Yeah. Yeah.
The Rays, if they lose tonight, are Luca Brasi, who made the mistake of putting his hand on the bar. Okay?
Like the Godfather. Okay. Right.
And the knife is going to come down quickly. I mean, because I just think they can't hit with them. I love the defense of Tampa. They're here because of pitching, because of defense. That bullpen is terrific. I just think that this Dodger team is loose. They failed before, and Kershaw last night, I think winning was huge. And I just don't think the bats can stay with the Dodger bats. That's my only negative.
Well, and again, they're a much more experienced team that has repeatedly been in the playoffs and the World Series before. So that makes a difference. But let's see. I mean, I preached this in the hockey playoffs to all of the fans. One game does not a seven-game series make, and they lost the first game to Boston, and they lost the first game earlier in the playoffs, too. The Lakers lost the first game to the Portland Trailblazers, and then went on to run them right out of the gym in Orlando in the COVID playoffs. So we've seen examples of this. And by the way, the Dodgers lost the first two games to the Braves before coming back to win that series. So let's see what game two and three look like.
Yeah. I could just see you, the marketing guy. Da-na-na-na-na, the COVID NBA playoff. I love that. The COVID playoff.
Well, it makes total sense. The Lightning have won a Stanley Cup in Edmonton, Canada, without ever playing a game in Tampa Bay. Now, in fairness, the Rays played some games in St. Pete, just like all the teams played. The Cubs and White Sox played at home at Wrigley and at Comiskey. But they had to play the American League Championship Series in San Diego, not in Tampa, and have to now play the World Series in Arlington, Texas. The Lakers win the whole thing in Orlando in a bubble. How? I mean, we're going to talk about this for the rest of our lives. How crazy this year is we're deciding all the championships.
Yeah, we won all these championships. How was it to go to the games? We didn't go to any games, but we won all the championships. I mean, it's crazy.
Nobody went to the games.
We never went to the games. We weren't allowed. Let's talk real quick and then I got to let you go, but let's talk real quick about Florida International, Florida Atlantic, Florida Central. I love Florida State. I love Miami. But even a Florida guy like you has to get confused as a betting man like myself. Hey, is it Florida Atlantic or is it Florida International? Isn't there an abundance of Florida so-and-so teams in this state now?
You would agree, and we got it even more confusing because they get ready to play each other. You know, USF's playing Florida Atlantic, and then, oh, by the way, there's a COVID outbreak, and now we're not playing, and we're trying to make the game up. So you are absolutely right that it can get confusing with all the teams, and you can't tell them without a scorecard, and now you got to wait and see who's got the COVID test. I mean, what an ironic, bizarre thing that Dan Mullen, a week and a half ago, the coach of the Florida Gators, is wanting a full stadium in Gainesville against all the health guidelines, and then his team gets it, and he ends up getting it as the ultimate punchline here while they couldn't play LSU last week. So, yes, there are a ton of Florida college football teams. I'm just happy, Mikey, the Big Ten is finally joining us this week. The Big Ten finally wised up on how stupid they were to say we can't play at all. I'm glad the Big Ten is back. We have college football. We should be happy about this. We all believe, you believe this, we were going to have the NFL. Those are paid professionals. That's a multi-billion dollar organization. But I was very concerned, as was everybody, we're not going to have any college football because they're not paid professionals. They're college kids. So at least we have it right now, and we should be happy with that.
You're right, A.T. I'll tell you what. Where can people find you? Let everybody know where you're at, my friend.
Well, I always appreciate the opportunity to be on with you. They can find me on social media at Buck Sideline Guy, BUC Buccaneers. Buccaneers getting ready to play the Las Vegas Raiders on Sunday night. How about as a road favorite, by the way? Very interesting again for the Bucs with a Brady respect factor. So find me at Buck Sideline Guy. Also find the Three Dog Thursday podcast. We pick underdogs on that podcast. I have had the Mike North on that podcast numerous times. We got to get you on again to pick underdogs with me on Three Dog Thursday. Find it wherever you find podcasts, Apple, Spotify, all of that. And in the meantime, I just rock along doing my thing. Go Rays! Go Bucs!
You're the best, Teach. Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it.
All right, guys. Great to be with you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
TJ Reeves and Aldo, I'll tell you what, TJ's one of the guys that I worked with at Fox. Good guy. He's, you know, stationed out in Florida. But that's how I feel. I feel like, don't you feel Tampa Bay has no shot as far as the Rays against the Dodgers? I've seen the Dodgers in previous years. This seems like it's just different. Maybe it's the year the COVID. How about the name, the COVID playoffs? How about that?
I love that, Mike. That was outstanding. And what a great guy he is. TJ, frankly, I'd never heard of him before. I'm so glad that you've introduced us in the Barroom followers to him. I've already followed him on Twitter. He's a great young broadcaster. I'm assuming he's young.
Yeah, well, you know what? Compared to us, yes.
yeah, that's right. A 50-year-old is young to me.
We're more experienced. But hey, you know what? It was good. We had the back end, and we appreciate him getting back from the Buck stuff that he had to do. He's got college football. I'm right about that. And Florida State, Florida International, Florida.
That was hilarious.
Oh, it's a nightmare. But that's it for today, my friend. Any last thoughts?
Only that we've got a busy day here at the Barroom. We've got a number of other shows that will be on the podcast stream. But when you
let us know, baby, let us know who's on.
Well, we've got sharpshooters Mark Schanowski and David Schuster are going to start to analyze potential draft picks for the Chicago Bulls. We've got the AU Sports Memorabilia show called Stuff Your Mom Threw Out, and their special guest is David Kaplan of ESPN 1000. And then later tonight, it'll be Buffon 55. We'll be talking about that Bears-Rams matchup. So lots of stuff happening tonight and today, but nothing as good as the Mike North Advantage. Yeah, man, you really brought it. My cheeks are sore.
We show up for our hour. We ride the L together. That's what we do. We talk about things, and that's it. And we hope to get to the other end of the line when we ride the L. We have today. We appreciate it, folks. Aldo, so long, everybody. Let's hear some music, man.
Yeah, nice.
Okay. He's good. Is he?
Yeah, he's excellent. He really is.
He's,